Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 116, your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of October 6, 2014. I am your main host, Derek, and I am joined by my co-host, Mo.
Good morning, everyone.
Yes, morning.
I say that slowly because it's not about to be morning anymore very soon.
It will be the afternoon soon, and soon it will be after the afternoon.
Wait, how does that work? Anyway, so some things about what I did during the past week. I actually got to finally see the World Trigger anime, the first episode. When I found out right at the intro that it was actually animated by Toei, I was like, "Oh my goodness, it's gonna be interesting." Get my popcorn ready. Actually, Pringles, whatever.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. So yeah,
what did you think? Actually. You know I gripe a lot about the manga, but here's the funny thing. In some cases, I'm going to have to contradict your so-called tagline at the very end of our at the end of the podcast every time, Derek, but sometimes the manga is not always better.
I will fucking kill you.
No, I actually did enjoy the anime a little bit better. Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe just open my eyes to, maybe it's actually better when they're moving around instead of just standing around and stuff.
Well, I mean, there are times when the anime can be better because it is able to see what worked and what didn't work in the manga. For example, the first two episodes of Blue Exorcist are significantly better than the first chapter of Blue Exorcist.
Yeah.
Shame the rest can't be said. The same can't be said for the rest of the anime with that ending. Good lord.
Oh, man, don't remind me. I don't know if I reviewed that. I was like, oh, I like this when I first heard about it.
Yeah.
I was like, I hate this.
Anime Isaac Newton may be a badass, but anime Satan is a massive pussy. That's what we've learned from Blue Exorcist, the anime.
Yeah, totally.
I've been writing this week.
Yeah.
I've actually managed to do at least 1,000 words every day for this week, and except for Wednesday when I managed to do 3,000 words because I was sick and stayed home and decided, you know what? I'm going to be productive, so I was productive. The downside is I'm reaching the end of my outline, and the book isn't even close to being done, so now I'm terrified about how on earth I'm going to find a material to...
That totally happened.
Yeah. So this book may not end up being the minimum 50,000 words that I need. It might be closer to, like, I don't know, probably be closer to, like, a short story kind of thing, but... If it isn't long enough, then what I'll do is I'll chalk that up as a learning experience, move on to the next one, and see what I can do to make the next one longer. But I'm going to need to sit down, plan out some stuff, and decide, you know, how I'm going to make this book longer than it is.
So. Yeah, he likes to write at night because he comes home from work. I write in the morning because, I don't know, mornings should work for me, just how I used to write back then, so.
Yeah, I almost wrote yesterday morning, but I had some other stuff that I needed to do. I woke up very excited for writing, so I intend to get some writing done today before doing some other stuff after we finish the podcast here. Although what I'll have to do is sit down and plan some more stuff out, but nonetheless, I'll get to it.
Yeah, we're a manga podcast. We're not talking about writing, though. Manga does have to do with writing very much.
Indeed. Well, on that note, let's go ahead and get into the Japanese comic rankings for September 22nd through the 28th. And in 10th place, we have Billy Bat, number 15.
Okay, I think I'll open that right now.
9th place, we have Skip Beat, volume 35.
8th place, Kimi ni Todoke, volume 22.
7th place, Fairy Tail, volume 45.
6th place, Okami Shoujo to Kuro Oji, volume 10.
5th place, Fifth place, Saki, volume 13.
What? Wait, didn't that series end?
No.
I mean, it has spin-offs. And I'm totally confused. I guess, interesting.
Unless you got the wrong year's list.
No, I did not. It says 2014. Thank goodness I just read it right now.
Alright, carry on.
4th place, Honda-kun, Volume 2.
3rd place, Kyo wa Kaisha Yasumimasu, Volume 7.
Ah, yes, that title I have trouble saying sometimes. Second place, Barakamon, Volume 10.
First place, Uchu Kyodai, Volume 24. Slow week. Dude, what is this? Oh, that's Space Brothers. Cool.
Yeah, I was about to say,
Well, they only sold just a little over 200,000 copies, so...
Good series. I want to check it out. I mean,
on Crunchyroll.
Yeah,
anime the anime and the manga are. We should check it out at some point.
Yeah. But,
yep, for now, New York Times manga bestseller list, September 21st to the 27th, and in 10th place we have The Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 4.
9th place, Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D, Volume 6.
8th place, Noragami, Stray God, Volume 1.
7th place, Durarara, Yellow Scarf Arc, Volume 1.
6th place, Attack on Titan, No Regrets, Volume 1.
Okay, 5th place, Spice and Wolf, Volume 9.
4th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 13.
3rd place, Soul Eater, Volume 22.
2nd place, One Piece, Volume 72.
Oh, okay. 1st place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1.
How on earth did that get back to 1st place?
Because...
It's crazy.
It's popular and...
Well, yeah, but you would have thought that people would have bought it already.
I haven't.
I guess that's what happens when you've got, you know, a population,
no
the entire population of the U.S. slowly realizing that, hey, this is good stuff. Well, not the entire population, but anyway.
This is interesting.
Yep. North American anime and manga releases for September 28th through October 4th. For anime releases, we have Bleach DVD set 22.
Which contains episodes 304 through 316. Is that the final one?
I don't know.
No, I think it's episode 334 or something. Mm-hmm. So it's about the end of it. Okay, next we have Golden Time for the Blu-ray and DVD collection. That's a great series. I haven't read the manga.
Yep.
Based off the light novel. Mm-hmm.
We have Mega Man DVD collection.
Wait, is that the old Mega Man?
I'm looking that up right now.
Oh my goodness.
It would appear that yes.
Well, that's... I totally remember that.
That's kick-A. I should get that. That looks awesome. Speaking about things I should get...
One Piece Season 6 Voyage 1.
And One Piece Film Z, DVD and Blu-ray or DVD. That's the thing I was talking about. Okay, let's see. One Piece Film Z. I need to get that.
Here's a funny thing about Film Z that I read about. Apparently, actually, with all the movies that Oda's directed generally, or just about two anyway, the thing is, they were stories that he wanted to add to the manga but didn't have enough time. So, in a sense, they're not canon to the story, but you could kind of wish that they were, except with Z, it's kind of weird.
Not Kanan to the story? What, are the Israelites about to come down and wreck some shit? Christians will get that one. but...
Canon, I'm sorry.
There you go.
It's not canon.
If it sounds like something dangerous that could kill someone, then it's the name of something, I completely lost the track.
You mean canon C that makes every musician go nuts because they have to keep playing the same eight.
Do,
whatever.
Do, 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 do. Anyway. Yeah,
you know, everything.
Yeah, you know what the funny thing was about when we got the announcement that Film Z was going to be licensed and released in the US, I kind of sat there and thought to myself, I haven't watched it yet. I hear it's good. I should watch it. I should find a copy online somewhere and watch it. Because, you know, it's available. There are fan subs available. And I was thinking, I could watch this. I should probably watch this, see if I want to buy it. But then I also started thinking, maybe I should just wait until it's released and then just buy that. You know, do things the way people are supposed to do. And then I started thinking to myself, I'm sure I'll get a fan subbed copy and watch it before the DVD is released. But part of me was still thinking, I should wait. I might wait. And then the next thing I know, it's out of my mind and suddenly the movie's released. I'm like, wait, what? Alright.
Good job, you waited. I didn't because I don't have a job, so I had no choice.
Indeed.
But I can attest, it actually is a great movie. It's actually a lot better than Strong World in some ways to me.
Yes, that's what I keep hearing, is because everyone's like, oh, Strong World is fantastic, but then I hear that Film Z is even better. Alright.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for a One Piece movie developed by Toei again.
Yeah.
It'll happen at some point.
See, $29.73 on Amazon.
What's that special though? That was as long as the movie, but it was a TV special.
Mm-hmm. Yes, true. That was, I don't know, that was fun.
All right.
That was pretty good.
So,
shipping.
Okay, my turn. Next we have on the list Psychic Detective Yakumo for the Blu-ray Complete Collection.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And we have Steins Gate DVD and Blu-ray Complete Series.
I remember I saw only the first episode of that, and I thought, oh, that sounds interesting, and then I totally forgot to watch the rest of it.
And there we go, I've just bought...
Apparently got a confusing timeline stuff to deal with.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yep, well, I just purchased Film Z. Yay, it'll be arriving in 1 to 2 months. Anyway.
Okay, and next we have a Zombie Loan for the DVD Complete Collection.
Alright, for manga releases, we have Fairy Tail Volume 42, and that's the one that we're reviewing.
Wait, I thought it was 43.
Wasn't it? Wait, I'm confused. One sec, let me get my... let me look up my release list. By which I mean, let me look up which one
just
I ordered.
Just check out your release list. Yes, check that out.
I'm checking Amazon. It's got my list of stuff. Let's see, Amazon Home, search which list your account, orders.
What's in 43?
Could have sworn the same myself, but let's see. Legend of Korra.
Oh yeah, speaking of Amazon, apparently they're opening
the
first...
Oh, it is, it's 42. Part. It's 42.
It's 42! Wait, didn't we go over 42 then? Without 40... Wait, what?
42 was just released.
Oh my god.
Did you read 43?
Well, I also read 42, though.
Okay, good. That... Alright, so, perfect. Alright, what else do we have?
Okay. Lone Wolf and Cub Omnibus Volume 6.
Yay. Alright, what else?
Mega Man Volume 7, Blackout, The Curse of Ra... Moon... Wait, Archie Comics? Oh yeah, I guess they did do that too, huh? Okay, next on the list we have Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin Volume 7 Hardcover Edition.
Ooh. Cool.
And for the last manga releases we have My Little Monster Volume 4.
Awesome. We also, for other releases, we have Natural Doctrine PlayStation 3, 4, Vita.
Why did they spell those things in weird titles? Whatever. Next we have on the list is Persona 4 Arena Ultimax version something. I mean, I'm kidding.
Yep.
Place for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. There's way too much Persona 4.
Yeah, we have the Super Smash Bros. For the Nintendo 3DS.
Good job, you guys. Yep. Wii U version is coming out soon, though. I'm more excited for that one now. And Udon's Art of Capcom Complete Edition Art Book. Cool, hey. I don't like the Capcom.
Nice.
Redeem yourself, and maybe I will again. Maybe.
Indeed. Alright then.
Let's... Okay. Now, on to some fun other news. This might be a bit, I'll try not to be too graphic about it. But Shonen Jump Plus offers online manga and secret jiggling body parts.
That's silly.
Yeah, in case you're wondering what this one's about, is that advertising for Total Love Root Trouble Darkness.
Of course it is.
I have to say that when I heard about this, like, okay, I'll check this out. Maybe they're not that serious, and I checked it, and I'm like, whoa. As I say, if you go to the actual site, I'm not going to tell you the actual site, because you look for yourself, you people who are very savvy with computers. Go to the actual site, and then pretty much the thing is, it's like an actual. It gives you a sample of one of the chapters from the volume from the manga, and literally, there's, I think, I'm not sure, I can't read Japanese that well. I mean, I can only read high and ie, which is yes and no. And pretty much, I guess, if you pick the option that allows you to make it interactive, you click on certain parts of the page, and the page becomes interactive. I can't get any more detail than that. Think for yourself.
Oh, perverts. Dear. Perverts indeed. that's just hilarious.
Hypocrite on the run. Now, kidding. Yeah.
I mean, granted,
it's not that bad, though. Yeah,
there is the element of that series is creepy as hell, because most of the naked girls there are underage. So, let's just say after that
underage to us, in Japan, they aren't.
Well, no, but seriously, let's just say that after the big scandal a couple years ago where the mangaka's wife left him for a musician, let's just say at around this time, I'm not really blaming her because this is creepy.
Well, she was also a bit of a B.I.T., you know the rest.
Yeah, well, I mean, from what we see, the whole situation was crappy, but...
bad, in a sense, and while I do understand that he once was my favorite mangaka for a time, I kind of was like, okay, this guy, I understand that he is what he wants to do, but I'm just like, I don't want to support that.
That's the advantage that I have. I never liked any of his stuff, so...
Boom. Yeah...
All right, what else do we have?
I mean, you can at least be like Kenji Hata.
What else do we have?
Okay, next on the list, we have Death Note's Obata, Monogatari's Nisi Ozen, also the writer for Medaka Box.
Cool.
And Rosario Vampire's Ikeda make two one-shot manga together. Now, here's the thing. Obata makes two one-shot manga with Nisi Ozen and Ikeda. So is that how it's read? Manga artist, writer, and manga creator. Oh no, sorry. Nisi Ozen is the writer, Obata's the artist. Okay, so basically, I messed up. Nisi Ozen works with Obata and Ikeda to make two one-shot manga. Mm. One-shot stories.
Nice. Does it say what they're about?
No, it just says that their titles are, hang on. Okay, the one that Nisi Ozen's making with Obata is called RKD-EK9, and the other one with Ikeda is called Nanmade Nara Koreseru, which translates to, until what will you keep on killing?
Interesting.
No killing people.
Yes, don't do that.
It's bad. Wrong.
Indeed.
Yeah, the art is pretty good. Like, I actually do want to check out the one with Obata's art. Looks like you got to do a medicine on it for some reason. Pills. And then the other one has some girl making a rocket-shaped ice cream popsicle thing. Well, not licking, but she's holding it. That doesn't look bad. I mean, I did try to read Rosario plus Vampire at some point, but then I lost interest because I don't know what happened, but I was just like, I guess it's just because I don't like the main character being all passive and supportive. Apparently in the sequel, he's not like that anymore.
I see.
That's good, at least. A little late for me on that, but I don't know why, I just couldn't get into it. I like Supernatural, but all that Supernatural and high school stuff just gets on my nerves.
Yeah, it does get tiresome.
But then again, these manga are appealing to, you know, the kids, those teenagers, those darn teenagers. Anyways, last bit of news.
This is very important.
I'm sure you all know about this.
Feels good.
Naruto manga is going to end in 5 weeks.
That means this fight is only going to be 5 chapters long. 4 chapters, most likely, considering the fact that they have to actually have the, you know, the actual end that resolves things.
Yeah, so the only thing I'm worried about is that the fact that with the movie, the so-called last movie, I sincerely hope that the final chapter does not leave things hanging, not leave everything hanging. I mean, something has to be... left hanging. But
if
not
it leaves everything, hanging for the movie, I will be so pissed.
Well, the movie comes out on December 6th, so don't worry about that in Japan.
This is an exciting moment for fans of manga. For those that love Naruto, it's an exciting moment because you finally get to see how the story ends. For those that were shippers that enjoyed Naruto, you finally get to see who was right and who was wrong, and you can spend the next couple months rubbing it in people's faces.
And for those who used to read it and still are reading because they want to know how it ends, they can finally rest in peace when it ends.
That's the nightmare is finally over.
I did get into the series because Jiraiya was awesome, and even though he died at that point, by the time I got into it, I was like, I'll give it a shot. I remember I got into it because, like many people in the old days of high school and such, or middle school, burning CDs was a thing. Yeah. And I actually borrowed an actual copy from a friend, an actual copy of the Japanese DVD set. So it was not a pirated, okay? It was actually an actual copy. The problem was the CD was badly scratched. I could only see episodes 1, 2, skip to 9, 14, and then 17 to the end of up till the beginning of the Chunin arc. I was totally lost.
You're like,
when
what's
they
going
started
on?
Fighting Haku and Zabuza. I'm like, wait.
Nice.
Wait, why is so-called lying in a pool of blood? Why is so-called fighting so-and-so? Weren't they just in some sort of misplace? Why are they in some sort of little bridge thing? What happened to that little kid that I saw in episode 2 or something?
I think we get the point.
Yeah.
I started reading Naruto because everyone was talking about it. It was one of the big ones, I'd gotten into Bleach at a certain point, and I was like, oh man, Bleach is awesome. This is fantastic. What other awesome manga are there to read? So I read Naruto. I was like, oh, this is great. And then I should read through all of One Piece because I loved this when I was a teenager. Now I should read it and actually see what the deal is. Read it and suddenly I was like, One Piece is the greatest manga in the world.
Yeah.
I still loved Bleach. I still loved Naruto. But Naruto got to a certain point where finally I decided, you know what, you've been pissing me off for way too long. And then after that it was basically several years of, for some reason, continuing to read it. Honestly, there was a time when I kept reading it and I didn't know why. I honestly almost quit at a certain point. In fact, I did quit, but then I came back and read the chapters and kept reading because I was like, I got to see how this ends. And then we started doing the podcast and suddenly I was like, well, now I have to read it.
Well, I've been reading regardless, to be honest. Anyways, so the final chapter is going to pretty much end in the year's issue, 50th issue of Shonen Jump. On November 10th. So that's let's just say we're actually recording on the Friday. That's exactly a month from now.
Yep, exactly. So, yep, and after this week's issue.
Happy birthday, Naruto.
Indeed, yeah, after this week's issue, we've got 4 more issues to go, and so I'm excited to see what happens here.
Yeah.
So, yep. And, all right, was that all the news?
Yeah, that's all the news. All
right, perfect. Let's go ahead and start reviewing some manga, starting with Attack on Titan, Volume 13.
Yeah.
And in this volume, we get the aftermath of the Titans escaping. And let's see, what else happened? Yeah, so they get away. We discover that, chances are that these were people... that these Titans that got into the wall were not actually Titans from outside the wall. They were people from inside the wall. And Connie realizes that, yeah, this Titan that was inside his house was, in fact, his mom. And so, in a weird case, this is one of the ones that looks, where the Titan looks like the person that they transformed from. Which
yeah,
seems
a little awkward. Your mama joke is going to be very awkward
yeah.
for now.
Yo mama's so fat. No, yeah. Yo mama's so fat she can't leave the house. I know! No, but yeah. It's kind of weird how there seems to be sometimes the Titans look like the people they were, and sometimes they don't. So, yeah. I don't know what the deal is with that, but nonetheless, you've also got Hange that suddenly realizes, oh yeah, remember how I was torturing all those Titans to learn from them? Those were people. Well, I feel awful. And yeah, and so, and then they figure out that, you know, the area, you know, basically, yeah, what you get is that the area that they cut is basically the area that's on the, you know, that's the spinal column. Yeah. And you cut that area out, and yeah, the spinal column leading out of the brain, and yeah, they can't regenerate. So basically, you're cutting a bit of the spine and a bit of the brain. And yeah. Let's see. Yeah, so we move on from
it's
there.
It's like, oh, so I've been killing people. Well,
yep, pretty much. It was kind of a.
You feel like an asshole, but you know what? Gotta do what I gotta do.
Yep. We also discover that Father Nick has been murdered, possibly by the military police. So everyone's like, okay, we gotta figure out what's going on here. We've got Historia, who is remembering, you know, remembering her past and how, you know, an awful thing happened to her mom, and her mom was kind of not great either.
Yeah, not one of the best moms in the world.
Yeah. And then you also see that Eren is trying to transform, but he's not having much luck, because the more he transforms, the less rapid succession, the less control he has over. And then, yeah, and then he has an interesting little mental image of this girl or this woman, and we don't know what this is. I mean, once we discuss this week's chapter, we'll have an idea what it is, but I will point out that it is very curious that the thing that he sees looks like he's looking, this might be a hint for what happened this month, in this month's chapter, because if you look at the image, he sees the girl that we find out is Historia's sister. He sees her from the point of view of looking into a mirror, okay?
Yeah.
And so he's looking through her. So I guess he's seeing her memory, maybe? I'm curious. Let me check something quickly.
Yeah, when we get to the actual chapter, we'll discuss it. Hopefully we'll remember that, because we'll have to go through a bunch of other chapters before we get to that.
Well, yes. Yeah. But first, before, I just want to, while we're still here, I just want to double check something. So let's see. Goes down there. Okay, yeah, no. With, in this week's chapter, we do see her in the memory. You know, the person that he's seeing in the mirror, so I guess, yeah, we'll get to that, but, so it's not like he's seeing things from her memory all the time, it's just this time, so just kind of have to wonder whether what he's seeing this time, whether the ability to see images has something to do with the ability to control Titans that has displayed last volume, which I think it might. But we'll kind of have to see how that goes. But it's curious. This feels like something that needs to be reread. Once the series is done, it needs to be read to fully understand it. But yeah. So you've got the Survey Corps. They're gonna go get the military police and whatnot. And then you've got Eren and Krista, or it's not Eren and Krista. It's Armin and Jean that get kidnapped by these people. And then we see Krista's memory of, she's with the girl that Eren saw, that says, and she's like, oh, you're my sister, basically. And then something happens where she, where she does this thing where the lady, whatever her name is, we don't know yet, bonks heads with Krista, and she forgets who she is. And so it's like, oh, that's curious, very curious. And it's like little bits of information that are slowly starting to make sense. And then we find out that we see how the Survey Corps found where their decoys were kidnapped, and they beat up the people. And you have a really weird moment where, because one of the guys was getting real close to molesting Armin.
Yeah.
Was, you know, in his Krista disguise. And then when the dude finds out, it's like, I heard you're really a boy. It's all your fault. I used to be normal, but look at me. You have to do something about this. And I'm like, oh, Lord!
Nice.
It's every hentai ever again.
Well, this will probably get some criticism from some people, but I guess if to him, we're considering he used to be normal, but I would just see more like, well, he's awoken something that you didn't think could happen.
Something that was there, but that you didn't realize was there, because quite frankly, any heterosexual person that realizes that the chick that they were hitting on was actually a dude would immediately say, oh, sorry, my bad. Now that I know that you are a dude, I am no longer attracted to you because I am attracted to women. That is the definition of being heterosexual. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I thought you were a female. So, yeah. Anyway, and then, yeah, they try, and so it turns out that it's this company, Reeves Company, that actually, during the Battle of Trost, was the jerk that was not letting anyone escape because he was trying to get his stuff through.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, dude, just take the stuff out and just carry it bit by bit. And they try to convince them to help, but, you know, and then in the end they do get them to help, and they manage to kidnap two of the MPs, and it looks like they're about to torture them. And I'm like, oh dear.
I was like, oh man, look at Hanji. She looks like so.
She's like, well, I have already tortured humans before, I just didn't know about it, so... You've awakened something in me. You have to do something about it. It's like, oh, Lord, no! Yeah, I do have to say that this part of the story that's focused all on the on the conflict between the humans, yeah, it gets weird because, you know, you see them behaving the way they are around, you know, torturing other humans, killing other humans and whatnot, and you're just like, well, this is... weird.
Well, the truth of the matter is the royal government is apparently full of a bunch of bees. Dicks.
Yep.
And so, but yeah, this is where it starts going to attack on politics.
Pretty much, yeah. Also, we get a weird... yeah. Also, we get a weird preview of the next volume. Next volume, the J-pop Nightmare Arc. And it's like, forget about Titans, I don't care, I just want to see you. Will Eren see him? And by him, it means Armin. I'm like, what the crap? What is going on here? This is the weirdest one yet. Almost as weird as the one that implied that Jean had been masturbating before his mom came in.
What the?
No, that really happened. I am not even joking.
Oh my goodness.
It was weird. Alright, so, what do we think of this volume?
There was quite a lot that was actually given.
Uh-huh, yeah, we get some hints as to, hints. Answers, but, yeah. You know, just suggestions of there's something going on here, you know?
Yeah.
And so And so we find out that there's something going on with Historia, there's something going on with Eren, because he saw the girl that was in Historia's memories. So kind of wondering, what is the connection? And as of when we talk about this week's chapter, we'll be able to talk a little bit about what that connection may be.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, and, yeah, I mean, granted, this is moving us into the part of the series that focuses entirely on, you know, the human-human conflict. Mm-hmm. Human-human fruit. Chopper is involved in this.
Chopper!
Yeah, that would make things
very
better.
Sorry about this.
Yeah. But, yeah, this... I mean, this volume was interesting, and it leaves off on one heck of a cliffhanger, but at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, these are, I don't know, it's like this chapter is, this volume is the beginning of a part of the series that I haven't cared for, and it wasn't until recently that I actually started, you know, this most recent chapter that really got me interested in what's going on again.
Yeah.
And so... yeah. Anyway, but yeah, still, this volume was good. I quite liked it.
Yeah, it was good. Like you said, like, there's more hints and suggestions to what's happening. Sorry, not really answered, but it just like, mm-hmm. how most manga series tend to go, oh, here's a hint, and here's a hint, and they never get closer to the answer. This one's getting closer and closer. It doesn't give us the answer right away, but it's getting closer and closer, because it makes the reader wants to read more, which is actually why the series sells so well.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's going to Attack on Politics, it's actually, like you said, it's really interesting to see how, you know, how the humans, when they deal with the Titans, they're calm and, you know, what is it, the word, calm and hostile, but not, you know, not as super hostile against other humans.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going crazy, but I guess it's got to do, for me, I think it's got to do with how the government's been dealing with them and such, and, you know, when the government goes too far, what happens? Evolution.
Right, yeah. Pretty much. So, yeah. If politics aren't your thing, if you got into this series for, you know, Titan-on-Titan action, or Human-on-Titan action even, you may be a little bit disappointed in what is to come, but...
Yeah, we're going to get Humans-on-Politics action for somebody. Don't know why.
Yeah, so we shall have to see.
But politics is important to pay attention to, folks.
Well, yeah.
I just realized that a few days ago.
Yeah, because politicians are scumbags. We need to hold them accountable.
They are, but we need to pay attention so we don't let them do what they want.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah. All right, yes. We shall now move on to Fairy Tail Volume 42. Mo, do you want to give a brief synopsis of what happens this volume?
Well, it wraps up the giant, it wraps up the, flame of the giant's village arc.
Oh yeah, this is the one with that moment where Flair is all, oh, I'm so sad, and yeah,
and
happy that you've accepted
her
me again. Yes, don't say tits, that's crass. Say boobs.
I'm boobs.
It's a softer sound, it's more... classy. No, it's not actually classy, but it's certainly
less... Well, boobies are a bird, by the way.
Oh, yes. The blue-footed booby. No, but, yeah. I don't know. It is weird. The word boobs seems less crass than the word tits, which I think has something to do with the harshness, the hard sound of the t versus the soft sound of the b, which works better, and which, you know, a certain way, it's a better word because, quite frankly, the soft very much is somewhat almost of an onomatopoeia of the feeling of boobs, which are
soft. You
should
get a job as a ESL teacher.
Yeah.
Like, remember
English
that
sign language. Like, now I will teach you the sign language for boobs and just my hands in front of me making groping motions.
That totally reminds me of one episode from Jojo's Bizarre Adventure, the final episode of part 3. And Ponder was making this like, he was like, oh, I know some hands we do. And I'm like, wait, what is he doing? And he's like, I can see your underwear. And Kakyo was like, yeah, I get it.
Oh, dear. I need to get caught up on that. I do need to get caught up on that. But nonetheless, anyway, from now on, we use the softer, more feminine boobs. Anyway, what were we talking about?
We were talking about the wrap-up of the giant arc thing with Flair being reunited with her foster parents. And yay, that was very sweet, other than Mashima's focus on her giant boobs.
Yeah.
They aren't as giant, but, you know, her foster parents are giant. That's why it's kind of weird how that pun works.
Yes, you know? Yes, indeed. You know, it is kind of funny how I used to think, oh, Mashima does a good job. Sure, he has some very incredibly busty women in his manga, but he also has women like Levi, Levi with smaller boobs. It's really, honestly, only Lucy, Urza, and Mira Jane that have the big breasts. Oh, wait, then there's, Kagura,
the big Kana, who always
there's
wears
Kana, the there's, let's see, there's What's-Her-Face, the girl with wood magic.
Lucky.
Giggity. Yes, that is, oh dear, that is such, so awful. Her name is Lucky. She has wood magic. Wood, the term wood as a, euphemism for penis, and lucky as in, I will get lucky tonight.
Ah.
I'm sorry, this is what Fairy Tail does to my brain.
I really want to know what is the name of her friend that always keeps appearing by her, but never get her name.
I forget, yeah. I'm sure it's somewhere, but nonetheless. But yeah, then after a while, it's like Mashima started off with a cast of not all incredibly boobalicious babes, but then suddenly he and every single other woman that he introduces, with the exception of Wendy, and even she, to a certain extent, doesn't count, because quite frankly, we've seen her alternate adult version, and yeah, it fits in right with the other girls. And yeah, now we're in a position where all the women have massive breasts, except for the princess, Hisui, that one girl that looks like a farmer from the, whatchamacallit?
I don't remember her name.
Mermaid Heel. And then who else? So yeah, and also Levi. It's like, there are like three non-busty women in the entire world of Fairy Tail.
Clearly they eat a lot.
Yeah, we can tell which ones didn't finish their milk.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's actually continue to cover the volume.
Sorry, yeah, carry on.
So, yeah, it wraps it up, and then they go and meet with Warod. How do you even say his name? Chicken something. The tree dude. The magic tree dude. And he talks about how, I used to be one that was, did he say he was a founder of Fairy Tail or something?
Like one of the original members, yeah.
Yeah, I was one of the original members, and they're like, and at first, you know, the readers generally would think, oh, he's just joking. Like, no, not joking. I actually like how Mashima actually does the gag with this guy, because this guy actually just works for some reason.
Yeah.
It just does.
Yeah. And then we get the scene in the hot springs.
Yeah, in the hot springs.
Which,
that's where he kind of tells them, like, okay.
Yeah, which was kind of like, oh dear, this is, yeah, it's like, the girls go to the hot springs, and then they realize the guys were already there, and they're like, ah, perverts, and it's like, we were already here, you're the ones that came in, perverts.
Plus, we see enough of you already, we don't care.
That must have been a blow for the shippers that want Natsu to end up with Lucy. They're like, oh, he's not titillated by her, boo, except, you know. Yeah. Except then again, it's a joke, so you can all relax. It's probably not, I don't know, whatever.
We've had the movie, don't worry, the movie practically,
the movie. I need to watch that.
You haven't seen the movie yet? What the heck's wrong with you?
Come on. Fairy Tail isn't my number one series at the moment, so.
Yeah, good point. But yeah, so let's continue on. Warod kind of tells them, okay, they're going to discuss about the, how the giants got frozen. Then they learn about how, they connected the whole demon thing and then Tartarus. And then we move on to, is this when we move on to the reveal of the demons or? No, yeah, it's also the reveal of the demons. Isn't it?
Right. Oh, don't forget the moment where Natsu is washing Urza's back.
Oh, that was hilarious.
So, and they start talking about whatever, and he gets angry, and he's like,
Harder.
Just, oh yeah, and he's just like, like he's meaning to be pounding the ground in front of him in anger, except Urza's in the way. Now she has massive bumps on her head and is bent in a very suggestive way. Damn it, Mashima.
Also she doesn't wear a towel on when she went to the.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those scenes where you're like, oh, Lord, why? But yeah. But it was also pretty funny because Natsu got the snot beaten out of him. So.
Yeah, that was funny. So, then I think sometime after that, then we cut to Minerva, who goes to the Succubus Guild, Eye Guild, and finds out everyone's been turned into little paper doll things, I think. And then we get to meet one of the meet one of the nine demon gates, who's Kyoka, who has quite the...
Yes, she's another one of those.
No, I don't mean that. I mean the other one. I mean the actual... Her butt.
Indeed.
That's quite a butt.
Indeed, yes.
I'm sorry, because of Fairy Tail. I cannot focus on this problem, sorry. Okay. Okay, so Kyoka, tells her, oh, I was like, I was trying to recruit them, but they weren't strong enough, so they ended up becoming these things. And she's like, okay, I'm going to try and recruit you. You can handle it. You'll be like them. Otherwise, then we cut off from that. And then we move on to, we move on to where the whole magic council is, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, move on to the magic council. We're like, okay, we need to deal with Tartarus. They're starting to move on again. I'm like, you guys, they've been inactive for 7 years. Why did you not even bother looking for them? You had 7 years to find them. They're a Dark Guild. You know what Dark Guilds do. Why did you not even bother? This is where I just go all crazy about it. But yeah, they try and discuss, you know, politics, diplomatics. How do we deal with this? And then, I swear, probably the funniest thing, also the most tragic thing too. Mm-hmm. They get, I don't like using the B-O-M-B word because it just gets very synonymous with the T word, that is.
They get blown up.
They get blown up, badly.
Yep.
Yeah, and Doran Bolt's friend apparently didn't make it either. He was the only survivor. Doran Bolt, yeah. And it was just one of Zeref's demons that he did that. I was surprised. Oh, wow. Took him by surprising. Killed them all.
Indeed.
And then we get to actually see all the demons appearing. Where are they again? Their names.
Oh, you mean the name of the group or
the name of all the demons?
Tartarus.
Okay, whatever. Tartarus. Yeah, Tartarus. We get to see all nine of them, and then we see the one guy who was responsible for freezing the giants over. Again.
Yes.
And
turns out we have a demon slayer on our hands.
Why is a demon slayer with a bunch of... I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, even Dante, who was a devil slayer, did him with demons. He just went to kill them.
Yeah.
Then again, Spar turned on his own brethren, so I guess that makes sense. Yeah, that would be quite an awesome series. I don't like that reboot shit. Anyways, moving on. So, of course, Fairy Tail learns about what happened. Mm-hmm. And then they learn that they have to find the other remaining council members. They have to find the other remaining council members who may be in trouble. And then we cut to Yajima with the Raijinshu. You know, Boxer's group, and they're cooking. That's cool. They're cooking. They're working. They're working for him in this restaurant. And then, of course, everything usual happens. And then the restaurant gets attacked, blown up by some lion-looking dude. I think he's a lion-looking dude, right?
Yeah.
His name's Tempesta, right? Tempesta. Why can't he be Tempest? Whatever. Tempesta. Who practically tries to kill Yajima, and then that's when Yajima realizes, after learning the news about the Magic Council, he learns that they're not targeting the current, they're also targeting the former and hunting them all down.
Mm.
What? Well, we're gonna find out later on, very shortly. Anyways, they try and fight this demon guy, Tempesta. He overwhelms them, the Noxus appears. Mm. He makes a very nice entrance, but then he fights him, and then the demon guy realizes he's being overwhelmed by Laxus, and decides to explode himself. Through particles, magic particles that will be very lethal to magic users, and also non-magic users alike. And then Laxus, he realizes that the town's a thing, he decides to, you know, do what Noxus does, eat the dang thing. But, hey, I'll just eat it, why not? And he, suffered very badly from it. And then Fairy Tail learns that news. They all escape, and they manage to escape back to Fairy Tail with Laxus and Toll as well. And the Raijinshu and Laxus are in terrible, terrible condition. And then Makarov decides that, okay, we're going to declare war on Tartarus. And thus, they start hunting down the former members of the council to protect them from Tartars. And then, Natsu, Lucy, and Wendy, and Happy, because Happy's part of the team, And wait, was Char? Yeah, Char of course. Char was Chinese 22. So those five.
Uh huh.
Yeah, those five. Be with one of the former council members, and they try and ask him why the heck Tartar is targeting them, and he's like, just protect me. I don't care about what it is.
Are you sure it was still in volume 42?
Was it?
I double check, because I swear this has been going on way longer than an entire volume could contain.
You keep going.
No, I mean, one sec, I'm going to check, because I swear you've gone into volume 43.
I did.
I don't know, but this is taking way too long. I don't have my volume on me is the problem.
Neither do I.
Having you do it, but I swear it feels like you've gotten into volume 43, because this is either you're doing way too much detail, or this volume is
I wasn't. I wasn't. Why do you think I was not?
I was not. I didn't do it. I guess... This is bullshit.
I've not seen that movie either.
No, but that line is awesome. I'm going to double check, because I swear we're getting into 43 here.
No. This is clearly 42. I remember, I don't really reread something once, because I just like to use my memory. Yes, right. It is.
Carry on, then.
So, yes, they meet the former council member through Loki. Loki's connections with his granddaughter. that part was funny when he was working. Yeah. Like, how do you know? I'm like, Loki, no, don't do that. Don't tell her that. Massimo, stop that. Don't do that. Anyways.
Mm.
Okay, and then a demon attacked, but it's not the same demon that attacked Loxus and the crew. But it's another demon whose name is Jackal. He's actually the very same one that attacked the current old guys. Didn't do much except just sit around for 7 years doing nothing. Natsu and his group fights him, and holy crap, so the demon's magic is not magic, it's called curse, which is different. Mm-hmm. And it's more dangerous, it's more demon oriented, of course. And when I saw that big two page panel of Jacko just friggin' bombing circles around the town, I'm like, holy, how are they gonna beat that guy? Yeah. Of course, it turns out Natsu could, because explosions are fire, and Natsu eats that fire and explosion, and Natsu ends up getting knocked out at some point because Jacko managed to get him at some point. And then, Wendy tries to fight him, and then she gets knocked out too, and then Lucy has to deal protecting the old guy who's still being a bit of a D-bag. And then there comes this whole dilemma. Yes, dilemma.
Yes.
Between saving the old guy or this pregnant lady. And he was like, save me, you idiot, save me, I'm more important. And the woman's like, save me, I'm pregnant. I'm like, oh my, oh boy. Let's see. I was like, okay, that's just because when I saw that, I remember reading volume 1 of Hunter x Hunter. Was it volume 2? Well, it was when they're doing a little trial thing with the whole, when they met the old people and when they're trying to pass through, when Gon, Kurupika, and Leora were trying to figure out how to answer, and then that answer was instead just saying, like, they answer, but then those people were like, okay, you have to make a choice at some point, don't know what it was. And I was like, okay, is Masha going to go to the house? Is he actually going to kill someone?
We'll have to wait to find out, I think.
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was 361. 362 is in volume 43.
Okay.
Yep. So, alright. Yep. What did we think of this volume?
I'm very sorry. I might have been a bit, detailed at some point.
A little bit.
Yes. It was alright.
It was excessive fan service this time around, I do have to say. With the weird unnecessary shot from below of Flair's boobs to the incredibly suggestive chapter of them in the hot springs. That was just kind of silly. I'm almost thinking that I'm like, look, Mashima, we know you want to. Just go ahead and draw them all naked, for crying out loud.
I mean, Matsuenda did it.
Yeah,
didn't tell me he couldn't do it.
Yeah, I think it's the different magazines have different standards, so
yeah.
they're not going to let Mashima go that far, because despite the excessive fan service, Fairy Tail does still have a very mainstream appeal. It does very well in the Japanese manga reading mainstream, and it also does well in the mainstream over here. So it's never going to go flat out nudity, because you know, that would be, you know, that would make it less marketable than it is. But at the same time, that's not going to stop him from being all, look how far I can go. So, which is a bit
It's clear he's probably practicing for a future series after he's done this. He's like, I can finally do what I want now.
And it's so funny how when you read through some of his notes in the Rave Master, or in Rave, I mean, where it's talking about how he's like, oh, I'm so embarrassed to draw this character in the shower. I shouldn't do that. And now it's suddenly like, no, it's totally. There was like a fan service page of one of the characters in a shower.
Oh,
and he's like, that's...
I don't know.
But either way, it was ridiculous when you compare that to how he is now. Where you're like, you have absolutely no shame anymore. You
know, I have embraced my shameless self.
Yeah. But I do like the dilemma that we end with, where it's like, oh, who are we going to save? Is it the pregnant woman or the obvious jackass? Which it's like, it's a little too obvious who the bad, you know, how bad, you know, they make him so despicable, while at the same time they make, you know, they're just like this one innocent woman. She's like, oh, please save me, I'm pregnant. And you're like, good lord. You're not so much pushing the sympathy buttons as you're wanging your forehead against it. It just so happens that the female, attractive, and innocent, and pregnant buttons all happen to be right next to each other.
Yeah.
That was pretty ridiculous. But we're getting, I don't know, we're getting into some interesting stuff with the whole, oh, they use curses instead of magic, which I'm like, okay, That's getting a little bit too much into semantics, I find. Because, a curse is magic, you know?
Curse is still magic,
It's just a slightly different way of doing things. Like, you curse someone to never
be
able
to sleep
again.
Did we have a voodoo magic user in this series yet so far?
I don't recall seeing one.
Was that one guy, the one kiss-looking rocker dude from the Tower of Paradise arc?
He controlled his hair. He didn't use voodoo.
Okay.
There hasn't been any actual voodoo in this series yet.
Interesting.
But yeah, maybe we'll see it at some point. But anyway, I think that does that for this week's manga volumes. Let's go ahead and get into the chapters. Let me pull up the Weekly Shonen Jump chapters.
Let's not do this fast.
Did I? Good lord, I forgot to finish them all.
You didn't read them all?
I got to Sporting Salt and then I stopped.
Oh my goodness, we are in so...
We can do this, we can do this. You'll just cover the ones that I didn't go over while I'm reading them. Man, that was stupid.
If I can totally remember them, but yeah.
Yep.
So,
Blue Exorcist, chapter 61.
Yes. This is from issue number 45.
Yes, indeed, yeah. So, I do have to say...
I still don't like Izumo.
No, me neither, but this... What's his face?
Yeduan.
Yeah, I'm just like... Look, there's only so far that you can take this kind of annoying character. And it's like, yes, we hate him, but it's not that we hate the despicable character. It's the fact that we hate that this thing even exists, and therefore we hate you for creating him. I mean, there's only so far that you can go with unlikable characters before we start thinking, wait, we don't hate this character. We hate the creator for creating this character. Kind of like with Happosai.
Yeah, Happosai.
Yeah. We also, so Izumo is taken over by the Ninetales, but then Izumo's mother is still alive and apparently still quite sprightly. She manages to grab the Ninetales back into herself, and then she dies, and when she dies, the Ninetales dies with her.
That's
sad.
Interesting.
That's sad. It is. But at the same time, I'm like, serves you frickin' right after the flashback.
Well, there was a little panel that kind of made me laugh a bit. Okay. Where, like, the zombie or the ghouls or whatever, or the zombies or ghouls?
The zombies. Ghouls okay. were the zombie of the series.
Yeah, the zombies were like boy meat. I'm like, definitely interpreted in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just want to point it out.
Mm, indeed.
But yeah, keep going.
Yep. And that's pretty much it, I think.
I kind of did like Izumo's box transformation design, though.
It was a nice design, yeah.
Yeah.
So, man, it is also kind of nice how they didn't go the, oh, hey, we're going to redeem you, crazy nine-tailed demon fox. It's like, no, it's crazy and it needs to go down.
Yes.
And so, yeah. that was that. Let's talk about One Piece, Chapter 762, The White Town. Where we get to see all of the... We get to see a two-page spread of all of the Don Quixote family back in their prime, or their younger selves. And for one, we get to see... Let's see...
We start from the right or left?
Let's start from the left. This is a manga. Oh, no, wait. Sorry, what am I talking about? Let's start from the right. This
is a manga, from the right. After all.
Well, actually, let's start in the middle for firsties, because, hey, look, pizza. And I'm hungry now.
Look! Okay, so we got Doflamingo, Diamante.
Not that middle.
Oh.
I meant starting off with the fact that they are eating pizza, and there is it is a very big pizza, and that's kind of that's kind of hilarious, you know? Because it's just like this massive pizza, and yet this is the first time that we've seen pizza in One Piece officially. You know, we've seen a two-page spread of it, but this is the first canon appearance of pizza.
That's true. I didn't realize that.
Yep. And now, starting from the right, we have... Who the hell is that? Oh my gosh, it's Senor.
Yeah, looking at that collar, scarf,
That is
totally... Senor, why did you lose yourself in 13 years?
What happened? It's like he actually looks like someone that women would fall for. But I guess that just shows how much attitude matters. And then we've got Mark Weiss, who is actually thin. We've got Giola, who's thin. We've got Gladius, who can't see much of him. We've got Corazon, who's alive.
So alive.
There we go. He's doing better. We've got Trouble, who I don't know, doesn't look all that much different.
Eating a sausage.
We've got Doflamingo, who has more anime style hair.
Yep.
We've got Diamante, who doesn't seem all that different, but we do have Pika, who is smaller, which is curious, because he actually fits at the table. And then you've got Lao Ji, who's wearing a bunny hat for some reason, and what's his face again? Buffalo. Yep, and also you've got Baby Five. Oh, also, and I completely forgot this, but between Mark Weiss and Giola, you have Dellinger. Little baby Dellinger.
Oh, I just saw Dellinger.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we get the story. We get a flashback within a flashback. Well, actually, before we get that, you've got Law being all, I'm going to have my revenge on you, Corazon. And then Baby Five is like, how dare you say that, and smacks him. He just turns around and glares at her, and she does what she did the last time we saw him glare at her, which is hide behind someone. Well, not behind, but not look at him, and it's kind of hilarious. Baby Five as a young kid is ridiculously cute. It's just hilarious. And not so cute is the part where she's robbing this unconscious or dead guy of his wallet on the next page. And then we get to hear the story of Flavance, which was basically, to get down to it, there was a white town because everything was white because of this white lead in the ground that caused everything to be white. And it turns out when they were able to process it, it was a very rare, very valuable commodity, so they started selling it. The problem was, it being lead, they started getting lead poisoning. And then all the other countries were thinking, hey, wait a minute. There's this plague. We need to block them. And so all these countries blocked them, and then you have all the people in Flavance that are all, oh, hey, you know what? We don't like you stopping us from getting any medical aid, so we're going to attack you. But unfortunately, that meant they ended up being invaded by all the neighboring countries, and everyone got killed. And so we go into a flashback within a flashback. So now the panels are gray. And this was close to the hardest thing to read in One Piece. The only reason it wasn't harder than, say, the Robin flashback was because we didn't spend much time developing the flashback characters. Where with Robin, it was like, oh, we got to know Robin as a kid. Here, we haven't really had much time to get to know Law as a kid. So it's like Oda is being a bit heavy-handed with his attempt to garner sympathy for these characters, and it does work. Because you've got this nun that is trying to bring all these kids to safety, and you're just like, the warning signs are going off in my head. I can barely think because of how loud they are. And oh look, Law's family is dead. The nun is dead. The kids are dead. Apparently Manga Jesus did not save them because she has a cross. And so I guess she's a Christian nun. They have Christians in the One Piece world. How curious.
Yes. Well, don't forget, Mihawk has that cross looking.
Yeah, he does. So there may be, and the cross that she has looks similar. There may be a connection there. But yeah, and then the hospital gets burned down, and Law's sister dies, and then he's understandably quite furious. And so he decides, you know what, I'm going to stab Corazon because he's some jackal that tried to kill me. Except Buffalo saw him, and then Buffalo's like, oh, I got to tell Doflamingo. And you just have to wonder, okay, obviously Law doesn't die. Obviously Corazon doesn't die from here because Law blames Corazon's death on Doflamingo. So I am curious to see what happens, you know, to change their relationship.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, dude, this was an intense chapter. Like,
it was,
seriously.
Considering that when I read this chapter and then knowing how the events in our world are going on with certain
with everything,
disease going on in another part of the world, I was like, holy crap, this kind of feels very, like you said, heavy-handed. It's like, holy crap, to me, it just feels like, they hit me twice here, what the heck?
Yeah, I know.
Don't do that.
Jeez,
don't do that.
It's pretty insane. Yeah, so
the thing about the white lead is that it's not really contagious.
Well, no, it's not contagious.
It's just passed on through genetics.
Well, yeah, I mean the thing. Well, not so much that as it was. I think what it's meant to be is the age at which people were exposed to. You know, it's like the younger you are that you're exposed, and it's a slow moving thing. But I guess. And I guess it's not so much that it's genetics, it's more it's passed along. You know, say for example, a man and a woman love each other very much and they have a baby, and the man gets her pregnant via the use of his lead-poisoned sperm.
Yeah.
Which would suggest why the younger generations are affected so much faster.
Good
and
point.
So, yeah, it is. And I mean, lead poisoning is an issue that, you know, we've had in our world for a long time as well. I mean, recently it's been taken care of, but yeah, lead has been a pretty big killer throughout a lot of humans' history. So that's very interesting that Oda would, you know, pick that up, because he does like to take, you know, tragedies from the real world and sort of bring them into his own world.
Mm.
So, it was a fantastic chapter. I quite liked it. Speaking of fantastic chapters, World Trigger Chapter 77. Oh, wait, what the hell's going on here?
Okay. The reason why the art looks like it's all sketch...
because they are sketches?
Okay, it's because apparently Ashihara was just released from the hospital for his little neck thing or whatever, and he didn't have enough time to finish it, that's why.
Right, yeah, which makes sense. And it also goes to show what part of the manga the actual manga artist deals with. Because you see his stuff is all sketches, but then you see the perfectly rendered backgrounds. You can just imagine the assistants are like... And it just makes the whole thing look so funny.
I know.
Because it's like, here are these sketches that he barely finished on top of the backgrounds, which look as great as usual. And it just makes you realize how much... His assistants deserve credit, because they're the ones that do the backgrounds, and it looks fantastic. And, you know, this also does help put into perspective, right? And sure, we're all, how can someone create a manga chapter like this in just a week? When it's like, well, yeah, they're just drawing the characters, okay? You know, they're not the ones doing the backgrounds, but then at the same time, that's still a lot of work.
Yeah.
But yeah, the chapter itself is Yuma fighting against, what's-his-face?
And I totally forgot his name now.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, it says it right here. Visa. Yeah, it is Visa.
Visa, no. But yeah, and, you know, doesn't do him much good because it's like, okay, this guy's too good. Mm-hmm. And then we go to the fight between Miwa and the leader, and... You know, that is kind of at a standstill. But then we go to Osamu, who is trying to escape from Mira, and the border rabbit is there. But then something happens where Replica gets destroyed, and you're like, oh, crap. Dang, son.
That's weird. I just saw him in the anime. He's all alive to me.
Yeah, I know, right? But yeah, it's just like, oh, wow, I actually feel bad for Replica, even though it's like... He's a robot, but at the same time, like, he's been here since the beginning. He's kind of important. Oh, gosh.
Like Hawk from Seven Deadly Sins.
Yeah. But that's weird. It seems like Replica's done less, and yet I feel worse for him than I did for Hawk.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, and so... Yep. All right. Good chapter.
Yeah,
even though we're going to have to... Hopefully we'll get the fully... you know, finalized version at some point.
In the volume.
Most likely. Oh, well. All right, let's talk about Nisekoi, chapter 141, Senseiya. And it's focused on Ruri and this girl that says, oh, you're friends with Michael. Can you... I like him. I want to tell him. Can you give me advice? And, of course, it's Ruri, we get the best face of the chapter within the second page. Where the moment the girl says, I like Michael, can you give me advice? And just Ruri's expression after that is fantastic. And actually, you know, I will say Ruri has some pretty awesome... She's just spending the entire chapter degrading... degrading Michael. He's like, he's a total pervert, and he's on the scum... He's scum on the verge of becoming a sex offender.
And then when that girl says he's nice, and she's like, nice!
You know what? Like, he's sincere. Do you know what that word means? Yeah, and, you know, but she'd heard a rumor that Michael was dating someone, and so, you know, you've got Ruri who thinks about, oh, hey, he was, you know, there was that one time when, you know, when she asks Raku about why are him and Shu friends, but then... He says, oh, yeah, you know what, he's the only one that would get close to me. Everyone else was scared of me. And then she thinks about, oh, hell yeah, there was that one time how he managed to sneakily take that picture of me and my grandpa both smiling. She thinks, you know, it's like, you know, he's not so bad. And then I love that. It's like, Rock was like, you and Shu look like you'd be the perfect couple. She's like, that joke isn't funny. And then we get she oversees the scene where the girl confesses to Michael, but he says, sorry, you know, I'm not dating anyone, but right now I don't feel like falling in love with someone. And then he knows that Ruri was spying, and then She's like, you know, hey, you just mentioned someone you were in love with. What was she like? And he's like, oh, I bet you want to know her. And she's like, yeah. And then he has one of his moments where he stops acting like a goober. And, you know, he's like, oh, well, she's being sincere. And then he tells her that it was Miss Kyoko, and yeah. So she's like, oh, he's like, you know what? I'm not, he's like, you're going to laugh at me? He's like, no, I'm not going to laugh. And yeah, she's like, I don't understand love. It even makes someone like him be serious. She mentions how it's like, she's like, oh, what would it be like to be in love? What would I be like in love? I'm a little interested and a little scared. And then, of course, we find out that the rumor is that Maiko is dating Ruri. And she's, yeah. And she destroys part of the building in her rage. So, in that panel, you see Raku just sneaking off. And, yeah, so I guess this is the official confirmation that we have that those two will eventually end up together.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, in the past there have been hints that they may be good together, or that, you know, they tend to be the ones that understand each other best or whatnot. Or just, you know, they just have moments together that don't say, oh, they will be a romantic couple, but rather these two have chemistry is what was displayed, and displayed very well. This was the first chapter where we just straight out say these two, we are bringing up the topic of romance in regards to these two, and therefore they probably will end up together. And it's been done very well. It's not like we've been ignoring them completely. And then just at the end, it's like, oh yeah, the two friends end up together. You know, we've actually had the whole thing with Shu having a thing for their teacher, and, you know, sort of like, you know, just slowly working our way there, and we're actually being given reasons why they would be good together or whatnot. So I thought this chapter was fantastic.
Yeah, I loved it.
Speaking of fantastic chapters, it's opposite day. Naruto chapter 694, Naruto and Sasuke part 1.
And thus we begin.
I'm not even going to go into specifics. This chapter is an entire chapter of
Talk no Jutsu.
Yes, Talk no Jutsu. It's, I say, the socioeconomic situation can only be resolved via revolution, and by I, as a hated individual, can take upon me that hate, and then there will be no more hate, because I will be the one that will be hated by everyone. Well done, Kishimoto, by the way. You've done a very good job. We all hate him. But then Naruto's like, well, yes, but I offer a dissenting opinion that don't do that. Yeah, now I see there is no understanding each other. I will have to kill you because you are my closest friend, and I have to, in order to be able to be hated by everyone, I have to kill my closest friend, something, and let's fight. It's like, it's an entire chapter of talking. Fortunately, for the most part, it is stuff that hasn't necessarily quite been mentioned before. I mean, the basic ideas of what we're dealing with have been brought up in the past. But we get some of it worded in new ways, which is nice. But good grief. It's literally, this chapter is a microcosm of what's wrong with this series. It's an entire chapter of these two morons talking. Just standing there and talking.
Well,
they do not move. They do not move. They wave their arms a little bit, but their feet do not leave the position they are in until the last fucking page.
Like I said, they are doing the whole gentlemanly thing where, you know, they don't attack until they discuss the reasons why they're going to fight.
Jeez. It's like, this entire chapter was Kishimoto trying to make two people standing still interesting. Like, he's using so many different panels of so many different angles of their faces, of their bodies, of their hands, of their flashbacks. Yet, at the same time, they have not moved the entire chapter. there is something wrong here, and why do not people see that this is complete horseshit? Frick! What is wrong with you people that still like this garbage? You just read an entire chapter that was two people talking to each other while not moving. At least the anime had the decency of having 3-episode-long discussions while the characters were moving across cycled backgrounds. At least there was movement. They are not moving here. Flashbacks don't count.
Okay.
Although I am a little Yeah. I am a little amused by the thought of they have to be actually screaming all of this, because when you look at how far apart they
are. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's this hopefully this last fight will be more exciting than this chapter was, but I bet we're going to get an entire chapter of nothing but fighting. I mean, good grosh. I mean, I know he was trying to build up tension towards the big clash, but has Kishimoto learned nothing?
I think maybe Kishimoto was probably had some sort of music playing while he was drawing this, and maybe that's why it worked for him, and probably worked for some of his other fans that still enjoy the series.
This chapter is the equivalent of when a director takes the camera and moves it around stationary people that are talking and starts cutting to these really weird close-ups.
Huh.
This,
I kind of like that.
This is the manga version of anything Shyamalan has ever done.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah. This is so stupid. All right, time to check out. All right, Mo.
I hope he directs an art on Wiggleberry.
I highly doubt it, but yeah. All right, Mo. It is time for you to talk about Sporting Salt.
Okay, so the chapter is titled Salt.
Cool.
And it has to do with salt. Mm. And, it's like the usual 2 chapters where you pretty much is asked to help with a student at the school. And salt's involved. I totally cannot remember what happened in this chapter, to be honest.
Well, there's perversion that happens.
Okay, I don't want to summarize what happened in the chapter. I just want to discuss what I like about the chapter and what important thing was about the chapter. Basically, okay. Saul was involved. There was a student who apparently was not performing well in sports because she had bad stamina. Her stamina was very low. And then Shioya decides to course, he figures out what problem, and we learn about the student's little family background history. That she it's to do her family or some sort or whatever. Mm. And anyways, long story short, she used to eat these rice balls that her dad made, and these rice balls had salt, and
yes.
Salt gives energy.
Well,
yes, of course.
Well, it's something that, I mean, the thing is that with salt, I mean, too much salt is bad for you, but at the same time, you need salt because if you're very active, you're sweating a lot, and one of the things that you sweat out is salt. So the reason that you sweat the salt out is because, adding salt lets it evaporate faster, right?
I guess so, yeah.
I think so, yeah. So your body needs salt so that you can sweat.
Oh, it creates storage room for water inside the human body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. And so...
I just knew that. I just realized that myself. No wonder, because when I read this chapter, I guess it hit me more, because I remember I used to have trouble feeling as active because I was wondering why I don't feel as active. I lacked salt.
Indeed.
Period. Not completely, but at some point, I lost salt. When you don't eat properly, don't eat enough or whatever, you start to feel a little weird with your body, and you don't notice it first, but you're noticing it, and then hopefully you notice it by before it's too late that you have to get that dealt with by eating the right kinds of food.
Mm.
French fries are salty.
Yeah, there was one thing that I tried when I was in middle school and I was on a soccer team. That didn't last long. I'd read somewhere that, oh yeah, athletes add salt to their drink so that they get replenish the salt. And I was like, I'll try that. That didn't last very long. I basically add salty carbonated water, and I was like, this is an awful thing.
I would never do that. But yeah, apparently to some people, it's considered weird in certain cultures or whatever to put soy sauce on your rice and eat that rice with soy sauce. I believe I discussed it before, but I had a classmate in college who saw me eating soy sauce, rice with soy sauce. He's like, what are you eating? I'm like, it's rice and soy sauce. What are you eating? I'm like,
yeah, soy sauce delicious. Is nasty.
No, it's not.
Just plain soy sauce is awful. I mean, if you can
cook with it. Don't eat soy sauce by itself to season. If you eat it by itself, you're crazy.
No, I mean,
I would never talk to you again. I mean,
something tasteless like rice with soy sauce. All you taste is the soy sauce. You need to cook with it. But, you know, there's something
when
it gets
cooked. Well, you eat something with. You don't eat the rice and soy sauce by itself. You eat something with it, of course.
Indeed.
Like with meat. Mm. But yeah, so the chapter ends, of course, and with, you know, Shioyo doing a good job and succeeding in the faces, of course. And then we cut to so-called his opposite. Mm. And we don't get any of that because that's the third chapter that we're given, and we have to wait until it makes it through before we get any more. Plus, we have to make sure that I'm moving away for the polls to show, okay, people want this series to be in it, so we're going to put this one. People want this series to be in it, well, sorry, too bad. We only can put one or two or whatever one makes it. Mm. I liked it, though. I liked it. It just...
Yeah. It is kind of funny how it's like... Oh, it's like, oh, hey, yeah, you know.
There was that one two-page panel of the, I was like, okay, this series has a potential edgy to it at some point.
Yeah, but it is kind of funny how it's like this one, the answer was so simple. It was just, hey, you're not eating right. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's called taking vitamins, too, you know.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, it shouldn't take vitamins. It should be eaten properly.
Yep. All right, next chapter.
Okay, Toriko, chapter... Oh, thank goodness. That's on the front page for once.
Oh.
On the first page. Chapter 295, onward to Area 7.
Indeed.
Okay. So, they are departing from Future Island. Very simple title there, Shinbukuro. I'll forget that. So they pretty much have to leave the octopod. Octomelon, yeah. To go to take the supplies to back to the human world, while they pretty much take another new transportation called the Shark Train. It's called the Choo Choo Train. I'm calling the Shark Train. So it's the Shark Train to me. I'm calling the Shark Train because I like the name better. Anyways, the Choo Choo Chomper. Yes, it's Choo Choo Chomper. Fine. The Shark Train is what they're taking, and this one's more ferocious. It's more, what's the word? It's not as passive to them. But the funny thing is that the Daruma guy says that at some point when they get to Area 7, it'll actually be more obedient. So apparently these creatures in Area 7 are going to be a lot more powerful than the ones in Area 8. And there's they're controlled by apes, monkeys. They're controlled by apes. They're commonly known as the Monkey Restaurant. Did Luffy open up a restaurant? I swear he can't cook.
I highly doubt it.
Maybe the Saiyans opened a restaurant. Can they cook? No, they can't. Mm. Okay, move on. So yeah, it's ruled by 1 8 kings. It's known as the Mischievous of the Eight Kings, Monkey King Bambino. And I look at it, I totally am reminded of the whole see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil monkey. It looks just like that thing. It looks just like that thing. And since it seems to be more of a trickster, I'm thinking this thing's going to be a pain in the neck. Like, they'll probably steal the fake heart that they need for Komatsu, maybe steal Komatsu and do something horrible. Almost do something horrible with him. But yeah, pretty much shows their resolve and stuff, and Nightmare Heracles helps them out. And okay, remember that one Golden Marge that ended up getting covered in the Iron Cloud or whatever?
Right.
The Nightmare Heracles just sniffs at it and just blasts that thing apart. And now they can get through. The Octomel can get through fine. And a rainbow appears. It's just so hilarious, I swear. And they board the Choo-Choo Chomper, and they're off to Area 7 to get the food treasure pair, the soup. Mm. And in order to save Komatsu's life, of course. But yes, I'm going to leave you this, with this image of the final page of the chapter, for those of you who have not read it for some reason.
Shush.
It's the Choo-Choo Chomper Shark Train riding over a rainbow. It's nice. Riding over a rainbow.
Hmm.
Can't get any better than that.
Indeed.
I want a shark train now.
I do think it's kind of funny how in the Toriko chapter you've got the part where Toriko's after they leave the they're leaving when they say that the Octomelon is going to take air back to the human world, and he's thinking about all the people in the human world. And you got the biggest head there is Mansum. And for some reason, the next biggest one that isn't entirely in the screen is Zongi. And then you've got the three, like, what's it, Takemaru, blah, 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 and what's his face? They're all the smallest heads. And then you've got Rin, who is between the biggest heads and the smallest heads in size. And yet I'm like, why are you remembering your fiancé with a smaller head than the freaking Zongi?
Her head is right next to his. I'm sure she'll be happy.
She's like, yeah, I'm right next to him. And I'm like,
I'm taking my Toriko away, man. That does not sound right.
I would have thought that she would have been occupying more of your brains, yo.
Well, yeah. Why is Zongi even being remembered, the question?
I know, that is kind of hilarious. But anyway, all right, next chapter?
Next chapter. The next one is Bleach, chapter 599.
Mm.
You did not read anything.
No, I didn't, so go over it.
Okay, I'll try and go over it. No one will know. Okay, so, hopefully, Wondervice 2.0 is dead.
Yay.
I hope, certainly, he's technically dead, he's definitely dead. So, Evok, he summons his own guard and four royal guards. One of them is that one guy, Askin Naklevar. The other three new ones is, he's clearly Thor, I swear, with a sword and shield. Gerard Valkyrie, Stern Ritter M, Miracle, Stern Ritter X, the Exasis, Lil Barrow, Stern Ritter C, the Compulsory, Pernita Parnkajas, and Kovari said, Stern Richard D, the death dealing, Askin Lapnak Navar. The only one has to talk when he appears, though. But yeah, I just can't get enough of that one looking Thor guy. Seriously, his helmet even looks like Thor. So yeah, he goes to attack Senjumaru. And yeah, they pretty much have the whole, oh, so what if he, he summons this big, slave ninja person thing, and, the X guy is like, oh, so what if he's big, it doesn't matter, and pretty much, yeah, and then, he takes out some sort of weird, what kind of gun is it? I thought it was a syringe, but it's not a syringe. It's a little weird gun. His hair is even... Is that... Wait, that's not a hat, it's a hair. Okay, I think Kubo's just gone nuts here. Anyways, he shoots her in the head. Headshot.
Oh.
Yeah, she might be dead. Sorry. Well, I give her props for killing a character. It could have become very annoying to me. Because it reminded me of another character I hated. Yeah.
Indeed, yeah. Well, alright. Anything else?
Well, no, that's pretty much it. Senju Maru did her job. They got past her to move on to. They'll move moving on to the next one. Yeah.
Hmm. Indeed. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. What else do we have?
Okay. Chapter 26 of Serve of the End.
Oh Lord.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like I said, it's pretty much this week is a whole entire series of the Weekly Shonen Jump all in one again. Plus Crunchyroll.
Indeed. Plus true.
The other two series that we wish were in Shonen Jump too. So yeah, they're fighting it. I don't know why the cover chapter has a picture of Genoa and I totally forgot the other name in swimsuit.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd be glad you probably didn't read this. I still like it though. So yeah, they're fighting and they pretty much learn that their teamwork needs a lot of work. Which is kind of interesting because most series, actually, they just have the characters already work well enough that they know how to fight. But this one, it kind of shows that literally you do have to work on your dang teamwork if you're going to fight freaking vampires. Not even vampires, what if they were demons? What if they were gods? What if they were titans? What if they were Lovecraftian creatures? Okay, shit, you can't fight those guys, man. They just wreck your mind, period. Doesn't matter. But, so yeah, Shinoa's group is pretty much shown that they need to learn their lesson on teamwork. And also, manners.
Indeed.
Manners because, I forget who it was, but pretty much it's pretty much let known to that one guy that Yuichu was kind of disrespecting at some point, saying, "Oh, we're 20," and then turns out the guy learns that they're 16, and he tries to get the upper hand on them by going, "Oh, I'm your superior, I'm older than you," such. And, why am I summarizing the chapter?
Yes, just talk about what's going on.
It was okay. I just want to say. That pretty much it did drive a good point in that, teamwork is important. That I'm like unlike most other shonen series where the teamwork is already worked out because as soon as they know each other, they somehow, "Oh, I understand you, let's work together, we'll fight together and such," and it's like, okay. But this one's like, okay, they know each other but they don't work well with each other still enough to the point where they develop a strategy of formation. Their formation needs work. Yeah, comedy here and there, of course.
Indeed.
Yeah, I gotta admit though, I feel like Kimizuki in one of the panels where pretty much I totally forgot her name. The one that paired with Shinoa. She was like, "We need to hammer out teamwork," and Kimizuki was like, "Nice high horse. It was you two messing around that pissed off the lieutenant colonel in the first place." And they're like, "Yup." I'm like, "Oh, right."
Good point.
So at least if there's one character you like, it should at least be him, at least. Because he at least shows that, not trying to mess around. And then we cut back to Mika, who is trying to deal with the whole, I want to suck human blood, but I don't want to suck human blood at the same time. Because I remember the time when all my friends got slaughtered. I'm sorry, that's not nothing nice about that. Because, the very first chapter, how the series started. With children being slaughtered. Mika almost succumbs to the whole "I will just suck blood and just might become a vampire," and then manages to fight that back somehow and tries to stay human. Yeah, that's a chapter. It was good. It was good. I mean, I know there are some annoying parts that there's parts about the series you don't like about it, but you have to admit, when they actually cover the part of, "Hey, your teamwork needs work," which is actually important, it goes to show that the series is not entirely stupid about that.
Well, yeah.
It's just their characters who are just stupid that they kind of need to work on their... They're 16-year-olds, man. Give them a break.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yep. And, alright, let's see, was there anything else that we have in this chapter, this week's issue?
Okay, next one is chapter 37 of One Punch Man, part 4, King.
Okay.
Okay, so King returns home, and he's trying to play his game. He's trying to ignore the fact that he's letting, you know, 10 people die for every minute he's not there. And then he's trying to play his game. It's almost like Doctor Disappears behind him. And then he's like trying to figure out, and he's like, okay, when should I use him? Saitama's like, just use King. And he's like, not a hero name. If someone saw the comedy Big Boy King, I would die from. And he's like, this is just that one panel. It's like, just turns like, ah. How did you get here? And he's like, your window was open. This is the 22nd floor. This is the 22nd floor. How did you just jump up and. Yeah. Excuse me. And King remembers that Saitama was a Class B hero who was at the Class S meeting with them. And he's trying to hide the fact that he's playing a romance game. I mean, anybody would.
Yeah.
By the way, Katao Shoujo is a pretty good game. No, really. Anyways. He tries to hide that fact, and he tries to switch to playing another game, and basically, it's focuses on King at first trying to avoid the fact that he's trying to avoid, you know, feeling guilty for letting people die at the same time not wanting to fight a robot that's not intimidated by him. And then later on, they cut to two generals fighting that very same robot. Probably right outside the window. I'm not sure that's really King's window, but it'd be kind of funny if it was.
It would be a little bit, yes.
Well, there was this little picture that just fell down, so we can't even tell if it is. And, he's doing pretty well. He just incinerated the thing at the end.
Yeah.
He's like, I must do well enough for Master to accept me. So I'm like, just do your thing, whatever. Don't lose. And then, for the last chapter in this week's issue, is the very first chapter of Death Note.
Oh, fun times.
Yeah, I didn't read it because I remember reading it, and even though it's all in color this time, I'm sure. I'm not a fan of Death Note.
Alright, fair enough.
I'm just not a fan of Death Note. I've read the entire thing. I know why I don't like it. Okay? I know why I don't like it.
Indeed. Well,
I'll have to read it again to actually understand why I don't like it. But my sister, she had all 13 volumes and she sent it to a relative, so I can't reread it anymore if I want to anyway.
That's too bad.
That's sad.
That is too bad. So
yeah.
Sad.
Yeah.
Alright. So, it's time to talk about... Alright. Assassination Classroom, chapter...
Chapter 103.
Cool. Alright, so this one, you see that Team A has been taken out, so...
Dang it, Team A, you were good. What happened?
Yeah. So Team... Whatchamacallit? Team B? Was it Team B? I can't remember.
What team was this?
I don't know. They go to save Irina, but turns out that Irina...
I think it's Team C, probably.
Oh, Team C. Yeah, it turns out that Irina was just faking being unconscious, and it looks like her assassin self has been reawakened by the Grim Reaper assassin guy. So now she takes out the team that came to save her quite easily. They are boned.
You totally skipped everything else, didn't you?
Well, yeah, but that's how you summarize the chapter. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we turned out that Kayano is not really, you know, that injured.
Oh, yeah, that's
the
stuff.
Protector Sue protected her, thankfully. Hmm. And let's not forget, the God of Death is actually completely naked, despite the whole black thing enshrouding him. Hmm. And Nagisa, okay, in the very beginning of the chapter, Nagisa tries to take him out with the same technique used on Takaoka. But... the God of Death's like, oh, I remember that move. You Lovell taught you that. Lovell tried to use it on me, but then what? You try to use it, but he must come wind of them defeating Takaoka and knew that Nagisa was trying to use it, and he does his own version with his hands, and it totally spooked Nagisa.
It pretty much paralyzes him.
Yeah, paralyzes him, and then the clap stunner.
Yeah.
And it shows a little diagram of how it worked. And yeah, pretty much. And then there's that weird awkward page where Nagisa falls down to his knees, and he's okay. This is where people would definitely say he looks like a girl here. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it is true.
Yeah, and don't forget. I'm just gonna reiterate again, the god of death is naked.
Gross.
This is awkward! This is awkward! Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, so the other team. The other team that consists of, they're trying to, save Arena. And like you said, they find her, she awakens, she realizes that she's, you know, she's back to her normal self again, and she's trying to kill them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's...
Oh, and she's in her, she's in, like, something barely enough of a... Is that like a shift or something? A night shift or whatever they call it? I don't know what they call it.
It's, right? I don't know, it's a dress. It's just a very skimpy dress.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, yep, and now they have to fight her and the Grim Reaper, so, yeah. Bad times for them. And so, one sec, I need to grab my power cord. Alright, what's the next chapter that we need to talk about?
Oh, chapter 89, Shokugeki no Soma.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yes.
Alright.
So, we get to the aftermath of the Shokugeki between Soma and Mimasaka. And of course, Soma's the winner. And then that one guy with the very flashy card suit. Oh my god, I wanted out the joke behind having someone say it. And he had the contract all set from ready. All they needed was a thumbprint on it if he had lost, and his career as a his life as a chef would be over. He takes it and just rips it off. He's like, done.
Yep.
And of course, Mimasaka tries out Soma's food, and I admit it's pretty hilarious. And then we go into his past. We get a flashback. And he had two maids. Wow, lucky kid. He was a rich kid, apparently.
He was a rich kid, but he had a jerky dad.
Yeah, his dad. You can see where he gets his lips from. Dad.
Yeah. Yeah, that was so weird.
And okay, what happened was his dad pretty much told him that you have no commitments for your food or something, and he entered this contest, not knowing that his dad was in it. He didn't know his dad was in it, and he entered this contest to just win and to get his dad to recognize him, and he ended up winning against his father using his own father's recipe and improving on it by one step. And that made his father upset. And I guess you could say disown him by sending him to Totsuki Academy. I kind of feel sorry for this guy, to be honest.
I mean, he was basically, he learned a bad lesson, because of his douchebag dad, who was all, oh, you need to be more of an artiste. And then he's like, okay, but I won by doing just one thing different from you, so, hey, all I need to do is one thing different from the people that I'm competing against. That's enough.
And he just slowly changed his hair, even just starts, and oh my god, there's a panda that looks like something from Gamble Fish's. Abidani.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Literally.
That's pretty hilarious.
So that totally makes sense now. And then we get to see where he meets Aizan. And then we get to see all the knives get returned to their owners, and Soma just being all cool and stuff about it. And then we get the whole little, oh, this character who's just gonna appear once and never appear again, just thanking Soma for getting her knife back. That was a memento of her mother when she died. And, yeah, we're not going to see that girl again. But what's interesting is that just after that page, we get those people who lost to Subaru glaring at him. I mean, I understand that, but hey, you guys lost, you idiots.
Yeah, well, he did win a bit in a very unfair way. Well, not necessarily unfair, but he spent so much time focusing on destroying them psychologically that, they're justified it for hating him.
Yeah, that's true. But they still lost.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so pretty much he says he's leaving Totsuki, lost disgracefully. And I swear, this is why Soma's awesome. I expected this, because if it's supposed to mirror the whole Benkei to whatever Yoshitsune's name was before he became Yoshitsune thing, that Soma just pretty much just chopped him on top of his head and just pretty much told him, hey, I mean, my Shogun Kick is meaningless. And then he tries to, and then Soma tries to give Takumi back his knife. Takumi's like, I'm not taking it back. I'll beat you back for it instead.
Yes.
I have my pride.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah, I did kind of expect that. I would have thought it would have been funny if he had been all, hey, all you guys that want your tools back, you're going to have to face me.
That'd be hilarious.
It would be. Or maybe do something like, make something that I like and I'll give your knives back.
That's hilarious. But yeah, so Takumi doesn't take his knife back. He says he'll beat Soma in a Shogeki one day. And that kind of, when I saw it, it reminded me of the Yu-Gi-Oh! One between Yugi and Yoi, going by the English name. And when Yoi lost his, was it Red Eye, right? He lost his Red Eye, didn't he? Do you remember seeing the anime? Yeah, he lost a red eye.
I remember seeing the abridged series.
Oh, you remember seeing the abridged series.
Like, here you go. Here you go, Joey. Here's your red eyes back. I don't want it anymore. Or it's like at the end where it's like, aha, I've defeated you, Yugi, and I've won my red eyes back. And he's like, that didn't happen.
But yeah. So then Soma pretty much helps Mimasaka realize that, you know, it's not about just trying to rip people apart. He just tells them, he just pretty much gets Mimasaka to, like, open his eyes to what being a chef is like. And then we get that panel of the big panel of Soma looking pretty dang awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
And Mimasaka just finally. Oh man, him in the school. Okay, and we get that panel. That panel.
Indeed.
Have you seen that panel?
Of course.
Where I've all seen the female panel. Judges are like, "What is that?" And
of course, I've seen that panel.
Yeah, we're not gonna see it again. Don't worry.
Yeah.
And Mimasaka's been reformed, and. And then Soma goes to Irina and just pretty much proclaims to her that, you know, he'll pretty much that when he beats his next match, he'll be able to be at the top of her or something like that. And of course, she tells him, you know, I'm still above you, and then they mention, like, don't forget to bring those books.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. It's like, bring those books.
And then, just to make sure that the readers remember, we have the next match between Ryo Kurobaka, Kurokiba, dang it.
Yeah.
And Hayama Akira.
Indeed.
Now,
indeed we do.
Considering who's going to win, who do you think will win?
I have no idea, that's why I'm excited.
Okay, in terms of their style... Let's see. Let's think about what happened. Soma beat Alice.
Yep.
Ryo beat Megumi.
Mm-hmm.
Alice was like a friend. Was like a companion to Ryo's companion, and Megumi was pretty much Soma's friend. Was saying the companion. So in a sense, I would see that Ryo would actually win over Hayama, because you know Hayama has this whole, you know, smell thing. Somehow, I think Soma's little rematch of Hayama's going to weigh some point, because it feels like his battle with Ryo is more important at some point. Then again, would Avenging Megumi even bother counting? I mean, I'm not saying this is a matter, but would he have to go the Avenging route, or would he just go with the whole, okay, we're going to actually meet, and I'm gonna take you down for sure after you. But yeah, I'm totally, you know, because it's between two guys. Another cooking battle between two guys.
Yeah, well.
Two awesome guys.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. But, all right. Yeah. Let's move on to Fairy Tale, chapter 403.
Okay,
and
finally.
We're going a bit long here, so we're going to keep this brief.
Yeah, sorry.
Yep. Yeah, Mister complains about me taking too long.
Hey, what happens
when I give you control over part of the segments? All right.
I have to start taking notes again.
Indeed, we do need notes. But yeah, anyway, this chapter of Fairy Tale, it's Urza versus Kyoka. And Kyoka's beating the snot out of her because she is amplifying her sense of pain and also taking away her senses. But Urza gets up because friendship. Because she sees by the light of friendship. Oda's BS reasons for why Sanji doesn't burn his leg away when he uses his Diablo Jam are less ludicrous than this. This chapter was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of it was focused on Kyoka once again being very sadistic in her stripping Urza down and beating her up, when you keep in mind that she's a lesbian, adds a sexual element to that kind of behavior that wasn't there before knowing that. So suddenly you're like, well, that's disturbing. But
to a heterosexual guy, it's like, ooh. But to other people, be like, hey.
Ugh. Yeah.
Just imagine Kyoko was a man. Then it'd be wrong.
It's wrong now.
Yeah, it's still wrong.
But it's disturbing, the sexual tones that the violence is taking. But yeah, we'll probably get Urza beat the crap out of her next week.
So. Well, demons are evil, don't forget that.
Well, there is that, yeah, but nonetheless. But yeah, so it was... Yeah, this was a...
Well, Mashimo's had a good run with the chapter so far. It's only point... It's only reasonable for him to have, like, a chapter just go, it's okay.
Isn't as well, good, yeah. I mean, true, but still, it's the fact that it's... Oh, hey, look, this strong female character is going to be beaten up and have... her clothes ripped off.
Oh, yeah, that.
That's a little squicky. So.
Yeah.
Yep. But anyway, let's move on to Seven Deadly Sins, chapter 97. Alright, so, turns out that we find out that Elizabeth has the ability to heal people, but she can't bring people back from the dead.
Oh, sorry, Dreyfus.
Sorry, Dreyfus. Sorry, Hawk. But fortunately, everyone that's still alive is doing okay, and they managed to... Now the Seven Deadly Sins are ready to fight off Hendrickson.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I have to say, these chapters really feel like this series is about to end, you know?
Yeah, it does. But we haven't seen the final Deadly Sin appear yet.
Yeah, which makes me think, you know, it's not going to end anytime soon, but at the same time, we're... You know, the main threat is being taken care of.
Plus, Merlin has not joined them permanently.
Well, yeah. So I'm wondering, I mean, the whole King Arthur and stuff, that still needs to be dealt with.
Oh, man, Morgana Le Fay. Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole...
Oh, boy.
I mean, the whole King Arthur plotline, that needs to be dealt with. So my chances are after they defeat the big bad Dreyfus, they'll be able
Hendrickson.
Hendrickson, sorry.
He did.
After they defeat... Hendrickson, then they, you know, there'll probably be more threats from demons. They'll probably have a storyline finding the last Seven Deadly Sin. There'll be a storyline finding the, possibly. There'll be a storyline dealing with the King Arthur stuff. But, you know, it just seems so weird that I thought that the Holy Knights were the big bad guys for the whole series, but it looks like they may be just the big bad guys for this arc. So I guess I'll see where the series goes after this. But still.
Although, I gotta say, at the last page with Diane holding her hammer, it looks like the handle, it's like part of it's missing.
Maybe it's been an issue with the art, huh?
Yes.
Yep. Alright. Now, let's move on to Attack on Titan, chapter 62.
Oh boy. Finally. Well,
we have a bit of a discussion. People are like, oh hey, you know, people still like the king because, you know, he represented stability, and then you see Erwin and the commander of the armed forces are talking about how, yeah, you know what, I would have taken them out eventually anyway because I hated them, says the supreme commander. And so it looks like we're going into a military dictatorship here, which is not great, but oh well.
Oh, it's still better than the current government they had.
Yeah. And then we also get to find out, you know, the Survey Corps are going to go save Aaron, and they find out that, oh, Lord Rice's children, they had 5 children, the entire family died while Maria fell. Some bandits came and they destroyed the chapel, but, you know, and that where the Rice family were. And so so they're thinking, you know, this whole story is kind of suspicious. And then we get to see Historia and her father talking to Aaron and explaining, hey, there's something you need to, you know, you need to see. And then, so they touch his back to show him some memories. And then Aaron sees the memories of the point of view of someone going into the chapel, finding the secret place, finding the underground that they are in right now. And we see him find the, you get to see him find, wait a minute. I don't know, it gets a little confusing, because from the angle that we see at, it looks like maybe this one person is smaller.
Oh yeah, are you talking about the panel where we're seeing the kids?
Yeah, the kids, all of them. We see 4 of the kids, and Lord Rice. We don't see the mother or the youngest.
Wait. You say see 4? Because I think I see 1, but it's really, really short. Are you talking about the panel where you see them in the chapel?
Yeah, you see them standing in the chapel in the underground. You see Lord Rice, his wife, and the 5 kids, okay? 2 of them are tall, the girl and the oldest son, I'm assuming. And then you see 3 shorter kids, and then the angle, we see that coming from the point of view of the person that is approaching is coming behind Lord Rice, okay?
Yeah.
And then the next panel we see the person is now, it still makes sense because you see them from the angle that they're coming at, it's just that the wife and the fifth kid are outside of the panel. We are still seeing that the person that is coming in is coming from behind Lord Rice and behind his eldest daughter, and the angle that we're seeing her at there. Then we see her eyes, and we then see a titan that has a bite taken out of it that looks like Historia.
Yeah.
And given the progression from the eldest daughter's eyes to seeing the titan there, suggests that that's her. The eldest daughter was the one that turned into a titan and got eaten by another smaller titan, I guess. And then you see that the wife, some of the kids, the oldest son is being eaten by this other new titan. And then you see the key, you see Aaron being injected. You see it from the point of view of, we know this is Aaron's dad.
Yep.
Because we've seen this before, and this is from the point of view of, we see Aaron's dad injecting him with something that turns him into a titan. And so now we know that we've been following this from the viewpoint of Aaron's dad. So Aaron's dad was turned himself into a titan, ate the members of the royal family, gained the ability to control titans and to transform back and forth, turned Aaron into a titan. Then we see from Dr. Yeager's point of view, about to be eaten by the baby titan Aaron. And then from there we see the body of Aaron's titan body collapsed, disintegrating. We see Aaron there, he's holding his dad's broken glasses. We see his dad's arm.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it from the point of view of his dad that wasn't completely eaten. So now we can assume that what this means, I don't know whose point of view we're seeing that from, because we then see that Dr. Yeager is missing his upper torso. But,
well, yeah,
we'll let that go. But, and then Lord Rice says, do you remember your father's sin? And then you get the statement, the part that gives it away. Child had eaten father. It was like, oh, thank you for spelling it out. It's not like we could figure this out on our own. So
I couldn't have.
Well, basically,
I'm still figuring it out.
Yeah. Basically, what we've discovered from this is that the royal family had the ability to control titans, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron's dad had the ability to turn people into Titans. We then see that Aaron's dad turned himself into a Titan, went down into the chapel, ate one of the eldest daughter, who was the one that could turn into a Titan, it looked like, ate the rest of the family, just because he was out of control, I guess, or wanted to destroy them, gained the ability to turn back into a human, turned Aaron into a Titan, had Aaron eat him, thereby gaining the ability to turn into a Titan that he stole from the royal family. So, after all this time, we now know for a fact, Aaron's dad is dead.
Yep.
He ate him.
Yep.
I really hope that Lord Rice isn't a jackass, because I think Aaron needs a hug. He needs a hug.
Yeah. Do you remember your father's sin?
And he's like, oh. He's like, well, yeah, he ate you guys, and then he made me eat him, so he committed cannibalism and then made me commit cannibalism. What a douchebag. But, yeah, so now we know what that scene with the, with that, of Aaron remembering his dad injecting him with stuff after Wall Maria fell.
Yeah, yep.
So, yeah, it all makes sense now. Now we need more answers. This was a fantastic chapter. I mean,
it was.
Finally, we're getting more into the Titan stuff. And now that we've gotten rid of the government, we can deal with the actual royal family and what they're, you know, what they mean in regards to the Titans. So, yep. I'm excited. Quite excited.
Yeah.
All right.
If I had to rank all these chapters, this is probably the best one.
I would agree. Yes. This is definitely one of the best chapters of this week. But speaking of which, let's move on to wrap things up.
Oh.
Yep. This has been Manga Cubed, episode 115 for the week of October 6th, 2014. We went over Fairy Tail Volume 42, Attack on Titan Volume 13, and we also went over the chapters for this week. Now let's wrap things up by going over the author comments, shall we? Blue Exorcist's yeah. Kazue Kato. I really want to go to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Nice. Well, there's a place called London, England. I mean, London, United Kingdom. Actually, isn't it the whole thing about Scotland trying to break away from...
Oh, that already happened.
So, it actually happened?
No.
Oh.
The vote came and went, and it was a close margin, but the nays won. They didn't want to split.
Oh.
But now you've got roughly slightly less than half of the population that is furious with the other slightly more than half.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, next one.
One Piece is 8 years older. I was blown away by Amusei's passion for the Tokyo One Piece Tower theme park opening in the spring. It's going to be awesome. Just you wait.
World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. Sorry for taking a break. Volume 8, which turned my neck and shoulders into stone, is now on sale in Japan.
See, there's a reason why for the sketches.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Nisekoi's Nashikomi. I got the new Smash Brothers. I'm looking forward to see how well I do against all my opponents. Here I go.
I should buy that.
Okay, moving on.
Indeed.
Yes, you should.
Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. We took a family photo. We took a bunch, and the photographer complimented me for being the one person who never moved. Oh, hey! How relevant! He what? Must have been practicing for this week's chapter! He didn't move. Naruto and Sasuke didn't move. Ish. Okay.
Right. Sorry, I just started realizing it before you even said it, but yeah.
All right, next one.
Yeah. Anyway, Sporting Salt, Yuto Kubota. I'm seeing a lot of old anime coming back or being turned into live action. I have mixed feelings about it, but it is exciting. Hey, look, somebody actually agrees with our... Yeah. Thoughts about you don't want to take this anime and turn it live action, you idiots.
Yeah, alright.
Stop rebooting it.
Yeah. Bleach's Tite Kubo.
You mean.
Alright, Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. Sometimes I have trouble putting my seatbelt on, and then by the time I finally do, I've reached my destination.
How do you not get a ticket?
I know, right? Oh, don't worry about me, I'm a manga artist. I'm famous. Oh, okay, I'll just deal with this ticket. Pretty sure that's not how it works. All right, next one.
Hey, I make the series tours with you. Did you give me autograph of that One Piece guy?
All right.
Why is it always older, not me, anyways? Bleach is Tite Kubo. I saw The Lion King after being invited by Shiki-san. The depth of the performances was amazing. So I'm guessing you saw the stage play.
Yeah. It's funny, which is, I've seen it before. It's fun. But what's really funny is that how he was taken to see The Lion King by Shiki-san. Isn't Shiki the word for lion?
That's hilarious.
It is quite hilarious. Seraph of the Ends, Yamato Yamamoto. Seraph will become an anime done by WIT Studio. I'm so happy. Let's see if they do a better job. Probably not.
Probably will, maybe.
Well, I doubt
it. Just wait until we see the fan service.
Well, yeah. Cool. All right, it is time for us to rank this week's chapters. Let's see. 1, 2. Let's see, what do I have? Oh, dear. 3 and 4. All right, fourth place, Sporting Salt. I like this chapter. It's quite nice.
Okay.
What was your fourth place?
Yeah, that was my fourth place here,
actually. Nice. All right, third place. third place was... Oh, geez, I forgot. Oh, yeah, One Punch Man. I just thought it was really funny. And we get to see Saitama finally being silly, which we don't get enough of. So, all right, next one.
Okay, my third place would be Toriko, because of the shark train.
Okay, fair enough.
The shark train.
All right, my second place is Nisekoi.
Okay.
Because it focused on two characters that I like that don't get all that much focus.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. All right, your second place?
One Piece.
Oh, okay.
It was heavy-handed. Even though I know it could have gone first place, but at the same time, it's just like you said, we didn't know much about Law as a kid to actually get to really get invested in him enough. Other than knowing that, yeah, he suffered a heck lot worse, about as worse as Robin did.
Yeah.
Every other kid has done it too.
Indeed. All right, yeah, well, my number one is One Piece because that was a brutal flashback and I loved it. Mm-hmm. All right, what was your number one?
Nisekoi, because that chapter was great and it just painted, you know, one character who we usually see as a goof-off, once again, in more or less of a goof-off, and that's as like, you know, someone who has to be not just what we always see him as, and also lots of funny Ruri moments.
Indeed, that is true. Right, excellent. Well, that has been this week's episode. So if anyone has any questions or comments, just go ahead and email them to burninglizardstudios@gmail.com or look up Burning Lizard on Twitter. We will answer your questions on the air. For now, remember, the manga is always better. Always better. And we will see you next week.
But you like the Italian anime, though.
I do.